Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are live. Once you can hear me and see me, type something in the chat so I know that you're out there on internet land. All right, tonight's going to be an amazing night. We're going to jump right in here in just a minute. Thank you for joining me. A lot of you are saying it's freezing where you live. It is 50-something degrees out in California, and that's like very cold for us. It does not get very cold out here. I mean, 50 degrees for us is freezing, but I know for some of you, you're like, 50? It's like 20 degrees where I live. But yeah, 50 Fahrenheit, which is, for us California people, very cold. But hey, the fire is going to be warm tonight. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a great night. I'm going to preach a word that God has given me. It's a wake-up call word. It's an alarm going off, like many of the messages God gives me. I believe that the Lord has raised me up. You guys know my testimony. 13 years ago, I was an atheist. To be a watchman in this generation, to be an alarm clock in this generation. My great-great-grandfather's David Wilkerson. That's in my spiritual DNA. And the messages that he would preach shake me to the core, and I feel like God has given me a similar anointing. So that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's a serious word. It's a serious message. As you're going to see in scripture, it's no game, it's no joke. This should cause all of us to reflect on our life and reflect where we are and to take inventory. And I've said this a million times, but there's new people. I'll say it again. I don't preach these just to you guys thinking that I'm exempt from this. No, I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching with you because the Lord is also speaking to me. So I'm praying tonight, Lord, search my heart. God, check my heart. Lord, check my motives. Discern. Is there anything in my life that offends you, Lord? Is there any sin in Isaiah Saldivar's life? God, point it out. I want you to cleanse me and wash me. I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be on some headlines for some scandal. God, I want to be clean and walk clean before you. And that should be all of our prayer tonight. It's very serious. What I'm going to show you tonight is very serious, and it applies to every single believer. This is not a word for the unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, this is not a word for you. God can speak to you and touch you tonight. This is a word for the believer. That's why it's so serious tonight. We're in episode 197. I already feel the fire. I'm telling y'all. Episode 197 of our Monday night. What are we going to do in episode 200? All night prayer stream? I don't know. We got to do something special for episode 197 tomorrow night on the podcast. That is same place, same time on this channel. Vlad Savchuk, a good friend of mine, will be sharing. We're going to be talking about surviving trials and storms. This is something everybody goes through. Another topic that applies to all of us. How do we manage? How do we survive in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials? If you're going through a storm or trial or know someone, then I want you to invite them tomorrow night to be on the broadcast. Send them the link. Guys, no, spiritually, David Wilkerson is my great-great-grandfather in my spiritual lineage. Not in a physical sense, but like spiritual heritage. He reached a person that reached a person that reached my parents. And yeah, it's in our DNA. What I'm asking you about sharing these broadcasts, this is very easy, guys. You can literally text the link to these broadcasts to your friends and family. You don't have to even bring them to church. We're not physical here, like a physical church. You don't have to drive them. It's so simple. Sharing these broadcasts is so simple, and you never know who's going to be touched by it. We have countless stories of people saying, somebody posted the broadcast. Somebody texted me the broadcast, and now I'm here. Now I'm listening. Now I've given my life to the Lord. And so do us a favor by sharing these broadcasts. It's going to help us out a lot. We're going to jump in, though, in just a moment. I'll give you guys my dates later and do all that stuff. But tomorrow night, be back 6 o'clock for the Revival Lifestyle Podcast, episode 180, I think 89, with Vlad. It's like old times. I've had Vlad on by himself in a long time. It's going to be a great time. So you don't want to miss that tomorrow night. All right, I want to make sure that when we're preaching these messages, that I don't ever want the conviction of God to make you think that God can't use you. I don't ever want my sermons to convict you to the point of where you think I'm ineligible for the Lord to use me. I'm not qualified. I'm not able because something is going on in my life. I don't want you to feel that way. The Lord desires to use you. I do want you to feel that conviction and say, I want to change my life. I want the Lord to change my life. And I want to change my life. And one of the issues we have is we've gone so long without hearing convicting preaching. We don't really have convicting preaching in this generation anymore. Everything is nice, is casual, is calm. But we've gone so long not feeling bad about our sin. I want you to feel bad about your sin. I want you to feel convicted about your sin. I want the word of God to pierce you as it's intended to do. Scripture rebukes us for a reason. It rebukes us so that we can change. Tonight will be an alarm for some of you. Tonight, some of you will realize you are lukewarm, that God is going to vomit you out, and you have a chance to repent, to turn from your ways and say, God, I don't want to be that way. God, I want you to change me. And some of you might think, I don't know, brother. It sounds like you preach a lot of fear. We need, conveniently enough, my shirt says fear of God. We need the fear of God. This is what I'm saying. Some of you are like, this is the fear. The Bible says to fear God, who could destroy both body and soul in hell. The Bible literally tells us the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I know you're like, well, that just means reverence. No, it doesn't. It means terror. It means God is not playing games. God is not a joke. God is not to be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Now, here's the problem. We don't preach the Bible often. We don't hear the Bible often. And when we do, it's places that a pastor, leader, podcaster, YouTuber has chosen that isn't going to offend you. We buffet with the Bible. We pick and choose the areas that we like and the areas that we don't like. It's no wonder we don't see deliverances in the church. Brother, why don't we see casting out demons? We see it all through the Gospels, but not in the church. Because we pick the areas we like, we discard the areas we don't like, and we don't like the deliverance portion. It's like, oh, it's messy. People are screaming and growling and getting delivered, and demons are casting out, and I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't like hell. That's too much. We don't want to preach that, even though Jesus preached that all the time. We don't want to offend people. Oh, sin. I don't want to talk about specific sins because, you know, the big givers aren't going to give anymore and people are going to feel uncomfortable. I pray that the word of God would make you uncomfortable. I pray that, let me rephrase it. I pray that if you are a Christian living in continual sin, that you would feel extremely uncomfortable tonight. Now, you have a choice tonight. You can click off the video when you're uncomfortable, or you can say, wait a minute, God is speaking to me. I want to change this area. Don't you want to change? Aren't you tired of living the same way? Aren't you tired of getting the same results and doing the same thing? Maybe if you want different results, you got to do something different. You got to change some things in your life. This is very important tonight. 2 Timothy 3:16. Some of you have never heard this. Listen to this. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. What else? Look at this. And make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Do you understand that Paul is telling Timothy the purpose of scripture, the purpose of the Bible, is to literally tell us what's wrong in our lives? It makes you realize, like, that's wrong. My anger, my bitterness, my resentment, my lust, my jealousy, my unforgiveness, my hatred, my anxiety, my stress, all of these things are wrong in my life. That's what the word of God is for. It's not just to tell you, oh, God wants to make you rich and make you happy. The word of God is to show you what's wrong in your life and to make you realize it's wrong. And then to show you what is right. So that is what happens when you preach the word of God. Do you see that in America, the American Church Incorporated, I've kind of famously coined that term. The American church system has made people not feel comfortable and not see what's wrong in their lives. So you can go to church, and this is a major problem. God, raise up more voices that will preach this. You can sit in church, have tons of sin and compromise in your life, and not feel that you're wrong, not feel bad about it. Like, I don't want to be in a church. I don't want to hear sermons that make me feel okay with my sin. I want them to make me feel wrong about my sin. Like, man, my porn addiction, you should be like, my porn addiction's wrong. My anger is wrong. The way I talk to my wife and kids and family and friends and all is wrong. The way that I act is, and I'm bursting out in anger. I'm having road rage. I'm breaking laws. It's wrong. I want to feel that wrongness in my life. But you know what we do? We make people feel right about their sin rather than wrong about their sin because we have more of a podcast gospel. We have more of a comfortable gospel. We have a malnourished, lukewarm, complacent gospel. It doesn't challenge you. It doesn't call you out. It doesn't say you are lukewarm, repent. So now as leaders, we want to be friends with everybody. And don't get me wrong, outside of preaching, we can be friends. Outside of the anointing and the preaching, I'm funny. I joke. I laugh. I like to have fun. I like to play pickleball. I like to hang out with my kids. I like to go outside. I like to do all that stuff. I'm a normal guy. But when the anointing is on me, I'm preaching the word of God. The word of God is sharp. And it points out areas that are wrong. What is wrong in your life tonight? What is going on that you need to change? Why don't we want that conviction? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. But we don't have the Holy Spirit, so we don't have the conviction of sin. We don't like it. Maybe you don't like the conviction. You need to learn to fall in love with conviction, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And when he's in your life, he convicts you. Now, the problem becomes when you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, when you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when you believe the greasy grace lie, oh, I'm just under the grace of God and I can do whatever I want. That's not the Bible. That's demonic. Scripture doesn't say that. I'm going to show you tonight, Scripture teaches the opposite of that. That if you continue on sinning after coming to the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains blood left for repentance. You cannot just continue on. John said, if you keep on after coming to the knowledge, after being freed and delivered, and you understand the gospel, and you keep on, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. Oh, that sounds harsh. Well, take that up with God. Take that up with Scripture. Lord, give me, some of you need to pray this tonight. I just felt the Holy Ghost on this. God, give me an appetite for conviction. God, give me a hunger. I want to change. I need fresh conviction in my life. I need fresh revelation in my life. I need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God, convict me of things in areas of my life that are holding me back. The Bible says, lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles you and run the race. You're not running because you're weighed down by the weight of sin and compromise. And it's not just sin. Let me clear this up. It's not just sin. Lay aside the what? Weight and the sin that so easily entangles you. Not just weight, not just sin, but also weight. There's weight in my life. Well, is it a sin to do that? Is it a sin to do that? Why are we even arguing that? Hebrews says it's weight. Lay aside the weight. Is it holding you back? Is it weighing you down? Your anxiety might not be sin, even though biblically, it is sin to stress and to be anxious about things, because the Bible says be anxious about nothing, but instead pray about everything. So if I am doing it, I'm doing what the Bible says not to do. So I am going against the Bible, but that's another topic for another day. I don't want to open that can of worms. But its weight might not be sin. You spending hours on movies, well, it's not sin. That's fine. We don't have to debate that. Maybe it's not sin. It's weight, and it's holding you down. What are you called to do? Run the race that God has set before you. Run the race. Don't sit around saying, one day God wants to use you right now. Stop waiting. And I feel strong to say this tonight. Yeah, I'm saying this for some of you, a spiritual leader, spiritual father, whatever you want to call me. Call me whatever you want. But I'm saying this to some of you. Please heed what I'm saying. Do not click off. Stay on. God has a word for you. Stop waiting till everything lines up. Some of you have spent years waiting till things line up. You're never, I'm telling you, as somebody that I believe is walking in their calling, you will never be fully ready for what God wants you to do. You will never be ready. Someone said, why are you yelling? Because I'm passionate. I'm going to tell you why I'm yelling. I'm glad you asked. Because when someone's asleep, you don't talk quietly to them. When someone's asleep, you don't talk nicely to them. The Bible says the angel smacked Peter and woke him up. The Bible says Jesus shouted when he preached. The Bible says he told Lazarus, come forth with a loud voice. And you know the Bible says the prophets would shout with a loud cry and a loud voice. When it's time to wake up, you don't do it quietly. When it's time to sound the alarm, are alarms quiet? Do you have a quiet alarm clock? If you don't want to be woken up and you don't want to hear the alarm, then go to another channel where they talk soft and quiet and smooth to you. God did not call me to do that. God called me to wake people up. Your alarm in the morning isn't, wake up, wake up. It's loud. It's obnoxious. It's repetitive. It's not for entertainment. I'm not an entertainment preacher. If you're on my channel for entertainment, you're on the wrong channel. I'm not an entertainment preacher. I'm an alarm sounding preacher. I'm one that blows the trumpet in Zion, Joel 2. That's the moment we're living in. You got to know the times that we're living in. We're living in unprecedented times. Why are you okay with the devil shouting at you all week, shouting and screaming at you, but you want preachers to be silent and to be quiet? We cannot be quiet in these times. So if you don't like the yelling, just turn me down. Click the volume down in your iPhone. It'll be real quiet for you. Turn on mute, put subtitles on. God is waking up his church. We can't wait around. An army general is not quiet. I could keep going. A sergeant is not quiet. In the church, like, pastors, we want quiet pastors. Why do we want quiet pastors? The devil's not quiet. The devil's screaming and loud, pushing his agenda everywhere. Let's be loud. Let's raise our voices. Let's shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And let's not be quiet about our faith. Let's not be quiet about our conviction. Let's get passionate. When you see people at football games shouting, they got passion. It's okay for them to shout. It's okay for them to yell at the football game. It's okay to be at the club. Guys, I used to party and I would wake up with no voice. I partied all the time. I was into that whole world before I was saved. Screaming, wrestling, fighting, getting in fights, getting crazy, yelling on the top of my lungs. Whoa. How many of you remember before you were saved, amen, you woke up with no voice all the time because you're screaming and shouting at the club and at the bar and at the party, at the concert? We used to do metal shows. We were screaming. I had no voice. Now that I'm saved, you want me to be quiet? Now that I'm saved, you want me to be soft? You're cool with me being passionate in the club but not passionate in the church? No. No. Now, you don't have to yell. You can do whatever you want. Like, why are you up there yelling? I'm like, why are you down there dying? You can stay however you want to be. It's not your person. It's just not my personality. It wasn't mine either until I got full of the Holy Ghost and on fire. It's not my personality to shout. It's not my personality to be loud. I was an atheist. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I received power. That's why they're like, we think in the book of Acts, when they got the Holy Ghost, people thought they were drunk. Why do you think they thought that? Have you ever been drunk? Have you ever been to a party? Everybody's loud. Everybody's wild. Everybody's excited. So when they got the Holy Ghost, the culture, watch this, didn't think they were bored. The culture thought they were drunk. Oh yeah, these guys with the Holy Ghost, they must be drunk. What? Do you think they thought they were drunk because they were sitting around like, eh? No, they were speaking in tongues. They were going out in the street. They were loud about it. And the people like, they must be drunk. And Peter goes like, it's too early. They're not drunk. They're full of the Holy Ghost. This is that the prophet spoke about. So let's raise our voices for God. I will never apologize for being loud. I will never apologize for being passionate. And you know, the beauty of 2024 is there's a buffet of preachers you can listen to. You can go listen to all the preachers you want. And it's not wrong if people are quiet. That's just not how I'm going to be. I'm too saved to be soft. God lit me on fire. I'm too passionate. I can't hold it in. There's a fire shut up in my bones. Again, it's not a sin to be quiet, but we got to be bold about God. I'm calling you. And if you're preaching like you're doing a teaching, great. Be calm, be quiet. I'm calling you to a higher level. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm sounding the alarm saying we're too weak right now in the church. We're too weak right now. We're too soft. We need to rely on the Lord. We're too lukewarm right now. I'm calling you. I'm calling you to wake up. To wake up before it's too late. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. So now's the time, Paul says, to wake up. If you don't know the hour you're living in, you're not going to wake up. But he says, now is the high time to wake up out of your slumber. For the night is far spent. The day is at hand. So put on the armor of light. Why? Because we're going into a battle. America, believers around the world, there's people watching from all countries here tonight. We're going into battle. This is not for the weak. This is not for the soft. This is not for the cheerleaders. This is for those that want to get on the field. It's time for you to wake up. Maybe it's offensive to you. Oh, well, that's the point of the word of God. It shows us what's wrong in our lives and points us to do what is right. The Bible literally tells us what is wrong. So get rid of the misconception that God wants to use perfect people. God wants to use available people. God is not looking for you to be perfect. God's looking for you to be available. Don't listen to the sermon tonight and say, oh man, God can't use me. I'm so lukewarm. I'm so dry. Stop crying. Stop whining. Get off the ground. A righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not. Amen. Get off the ground and say, God, I'm ready for you to use me in this generation. I repent. I feel the conviction. I feel the weight of my sin. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I repent, God, and I'm going to fully serve you now. I'm not going to whine about it. Oh, I feel condemned by Isaiah's preaching. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. You want to go to a babysitter's club? Go to the babysitter's club. Here, we're calling an army. Here, we're raising up generals, spiritual snipers, armed and dangerous, that are going into battle and preaching the gospel. We're not raising babies here. We're not changing diapers here. I'm not going to give you another formula bottle. Oh, feed me. Get your thumb out of your mouth. Seriously, guys. Especially you men. Don't even get me started on the men. Time to turn off the video games. It's time to get your thumb out of your mouth. Time to uninstall the fantasy football you're obsessed with. Get obsessed with the Lord. Get obsessed with the Word of God. And they're like, oh, there goes my husband, turned off your videos again. I don't know what to tell you. It's time to get obsessed with the Word of God. It's time to blow the trumpet like they did in the Old Testament. Where are those prophets that would speak forth the Word of God with no fear, no apologies, no fear? They would preach the Word of God with boldness. This is what we need. We need the boldness of God in this generation. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit in this generation. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this generation. We can't be playing games anymore. We don't have the luxury to do that anymore. We don't have the luxury to do that anymore. So this is where we're at now. We're in a book of Revelation time. And this is John, what I want to share with you in my as I go into my 20-minute warm-up. Somebody's like, why are you shouting? And I go into a 15-minute sermon. I don't know. It is what it is. That's me. Before I'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for preaching too long. I'm not sorry for preaching too loud. I apologize for so many years on these live streams. Like, sorry I went so long. Who am I apologizing to? In China, they'll have you preach 18 hours straight. And I'm over here like, sorry, it's been an hour. I know you guys are tired. I know you guys are weary. It should be no problem for us to listen to an hour and a half sermon and then be in worship and prayer for another hour and a half and then be in prayer. It shouldn't be a problem. This is my life. The Lord is my life. He's my Savior. You know, I oftentimes, the Lord rebukes me on these streams because I get here and complain, like, I don't really feel like streaming. I don't really feel like going live. I'm tired. The Lord's like, oh, really? You're tired? You can go in the morning and play pickleball for 4 hours, Isaiah, but you're crying about how you are going to preach for an hour in your air-conditioned office with all of your little colorful lights, and you're crying about that? It's like, we're so lukewarm. And meanwhile, Isaiah, there's people being murdered in other countries. Skinned alive, publicly executed, churches burned down, families murdered. You're apologizing. Sorry that we went an hour and 20 minutes. Sorry that I'm being so loud. Sorry, you know, I just don't feel like streaming tonight. It's like, what? Guys, we are seriously lukewarm in America. We are soft. We're lukewarm. Did you see a video that was made about you? If I have one more person send another video, that's not persecution. Okay, they're persecuting. No. Persecution is being hung upside down while your family watches you kill. Persecution is watching your 12-year-old son beat with baseball bats in front of you while you're in a prison in Russia. Like actual persecution that used to happen. You ever read Tortured for Christ? What I'm going through is not persecution. This is not hard. Let's stop acting like it is. I act like it is. Like, oh man, I got to preach another sermon. The Lord's like, stop acting like it's hard. That it's just lukewarmness. It's just, and I'm not even preaching. I'm preaching to myself. It's just lukewarmness in American Christianity. We're not willing to suffer. We're not willing to pay a price. Like, oh Lord, I stream for you for an hour. Are you proud of me? The Lord's like, there's people paying for with their life. They're dying. And I'm not saying we have to be persecuted. We have to die for our faith. If that's the case, yes, we do. If it comes down to that, if that comes to America, we do need to die for our faith. If that's what it comes down to. But I'm not saying you have to go out and purposely get killed in some other country to be noble. I'm saying that we have the luxury to preach freely, and yet here we are complaining. It's too loud. It's too radical. It's too passionate. Too much. I can't be biblical? You get on here and start telling people, I preached a couple weeks ago, or I don't know, a month ago. I don't even know. Well, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what I ate earlier. Who knows? I feel like I'm just in the spirit, whatever. About the door. You know, I preached at the Breakers Conference. Jesus slamming the door in our face, saying, you need to strive to enter through the narrow gate. Everyone's like, I can't believe he said that. I didn't say that. That's the problem in the church, is I preach the narrow door that Jesus slams the door on his followers and says, I don't know you, go to hell, and throws them into hell. Literally, Jesus says, you're going to hell, go to hell, and sends them to hell. Be like, I can't believe you said that, brother. Dude, did you see I was preaching out of Luke 13? I literally was quoting Jesus. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many will seek to enter and not be able to. I say that, and then people are like, I cannot believe, Isaiah, that you said that we need to strive. It's not about striving, brother. We need to rest in the Lord. That's not even biblical. And not only that, I didn't say that. You're right. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe Jesus said that. It's in the Bible. See this though? We've drifted into lukewarm, shallow end. I'm telling you right now, if most Christians and pastors in America, if you can see them in the spirit,
They would be wearing floaties, little Dora the Explorer floaties on their arms, and they would be in the kiddie pool of Christianity. They'd be slopping around in a pool of water that's 2 inches deep. That is how shallow we've become. We've lost the depth of God, seeking the Lord, getting lost in God. I remember getting saved in my early days. I would get lost in the Spirit. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what city I'm in. Lost in visions. Like John in the book of Revelation. John's like, I just went up in the Spirit and the Lord showed me things. And the Lord gave me messages to the church. This is what we need back in the church, getting lost in God. I remember days like, I don't even know what time it is. I look at the clock, I've been in prayer, it's 4 o'clock. I thought it was noon. You ever done that in prayer? Where you're looking and like 2 hours went by, you're getting lost in the Spirit. This is what I want. I don't want to be lukewarm, this boring kiddie pool, baby stuff, little change my diaper, little pacifier. Like I said, get your thumb out of your mouth. Stop sucking on your thumb and get the word of God. Get on the meat of the word. Paul's like, Paul kept saying, I got to keep giving you milk. You're not even ready. You have no teeth yet. You're still all gums. You haven't really gotten in the word. You haven't really gotten an appetite for deeper things, for the Lord, to seek the Lord, the fear of God, coming out of lukewarmness. And you know what? Maybe it's the case that I'm lukewarm. Maybe it's the case tonight, I shared this with you and I go, oh, maybe that's me. Maybe that's me. Maybe I need to repent for that. I'm not exempt. Who do you think I am that I think I'm exempt from being lukewarm? No, I fall into lukewarmness. Like, Lord, light me on fire. And God says, hey, you know what it's going to cost? It's going to cost you everything. Just because, and I'm saying this, and I'm not trying to flex right now when I say this. Okay, I have like, I don't know, 2.something million followers on social media. Just because I have 2.5 million followers, whatever it is, doesn't mean I'm exempt from being lukewarm. Just because you see us ministers or pastors like with big churches or big ministries, I'll be the one to say, because they don't want to say it, I'll say it. Does not mean they're not lukewarm. Does not mean I'm not lukewarm at times. This is something that, and I'm going to show you, we have to seriously be aware of. Because there's only one thing in Scripture. Think about this, chat. There's only one type of person in the Bible that makes God sick. There's only one person in the Bible that makes God so sick, he's like, I want to vomit. I never realized, like, God, you can vomit? Have you ever had something make you sick? Like, yeah, I can't eat that. It makes me sick. It makes me throw up. I can't go there. If you knew something or someone was going to make you sick, you wouldn't want to be around them. Yeah, for some reason, when I'm around that person, I feel sick. I feel like I got to throw up when I'm around that person. Or maybe there's something in your life. Like, yeah, I just can't eat that. I can't go there. My body doesn't react to it. There's something in the Bible, and it's actually a certain type of person, and that person might be in the chat tonight. Who knows? That person might be me. I just got to pray, Lord, search my heart. I'm going to respond to the altar call tonight with y'all. There's one person. They're not found in a strip club. They're not found in a bar. I know we like to talk about the witches, the warlocks. Ooh, they're here. That's not even what makes God sick. Oh, the Muslims are taking over. That's not what makes God sick. Oh, the LGBTQIA3C3PO. You know, they every year there's a new letter to the LGBT. It's like the expansion pack. That's not what makes God sick. All these people we always talk about, you know what makes God sick? Where they're at? They're found. Stay with me. Sunday morning, filling our churches. God's like, there's one type of person that makes me sick to my stomach. Where God uses the word, I want to vomit them out. And you go, ooh, what are those people? Where are they? Are they in drug houses, trap houses? Nope. God says they're in the church. In fact, I'm going to write a letter. John's going to send a letter inspired by God. This is not a letter from John. This is a letter from God. To Christians. Quote unquote. Now, some will argue you can be lukewarm and a Christian at the same time. I'm going to show you that you can't. But he says, I'm talking to you. If you're in the chat and you're a Christian, he says, I'm talking to you tonight. Not your family. I know somebody, oh yeah, this is a great word for my family. Nope. Nope. Kids, you got to hear the sermon. It's for you. Nope. Not your family, not your kids, not your wife, not your husband. You. He writes a letter to you. This is the letter coming to you. This person that I'm talking about attends church regularly. They do what good Christians do. They give money to charity and to ministries as long as it doesn't infringe on their life or cause them to sacrifice. This person always chooses the popular road because they don't like conflict. They want to fit into the church, but they want to fit into the world as well. This person does not want to be saved from their sin, but only the penalty of their sin. This person doesn't genuinely hate sin. They're not sorry for the sin they commit. They're sorry that if they die, they'll go to hell. So to them, to the lukewarm, Jesus is more of a fire escape than anything. He's more of an insurance policy than anything. They're not really concerned with living holy. This person's not really moved by stories of people that do things for God. They resist doing things for God because they don't want to be labeled as radical. They don't want to be labeled as crazy. This person rarely shares their faith. And the reason being is they don't want to make people uncomfortable. That's this person I'm talking about. This person says they love Jesus, the lukewarm. They say they love Jesus and admits he's part of their life, but just that he's part of their life. He's not allowed to control their life. See, this person I'm talking about tonight, they don't let Jesus control them. They control Jesus. They don't let Jesus tell them what to do. They tell Jesus what he's going to do. The person I'm talking about tonight, they're not led by the Spirit. They lead the Spirit. They say, Holy Spirit, you go and do what I want you to do. You can only go where I want you to go. This person's not in love with Jesus. They're in love with the idea of Jesus. They're in love with the idea that they're not going to go to hell, but they're not in love with the idea that they can bring heaven on earth right now. This type of person does whatever they can do to keep themselves from feeling guilty. So they ask questions like, and some of you are like, that's me. They ask, I'm going to show you what makes God sick right now. Give me 2 minutes. They ask questions like, this is the lukewarm person I'm talking about. How far can I go? How much do I have to give? What can I do and still not can be, is it sin if I do this with my girlfriend? What if we only use this? What if it's just oral? What if it's just, and you're always asking questions about how can I sin without it actually being sin? What if it's just one drink, brother? What if it's just one smoke, brother? What if it's just one album? What if it's not? Always asking, it's a lukewarm. You're lukewarm. Lukewarm people feel secure because they attend church. But just as the prophets and the Old Testament warned Israel, you're not safe because you live in the land of Israel. You're not safe because you vote Republican, you go to church, and you live in a quote-unquote Christian nation. If that is you, if that sounds like you, you may be lukewarm. And this is a word directly from God. Directly from God to you. Take this as God speaking to you right now. Take this as God speaking audibly to you right now. This is what he tells the church. In the book of Revelation, I have a whole video on this, so I won't go into it. 7 letters to 7 churches. This is one of the only ones where he has nothing good to say. And this is what he says. He's writing to the pastor. He's writing to the leader of Revelation 3:14 through 3:22. Some of you are like, I know John 3:16. Well, you know what you need to memorize? Revelation 3:16. Let's balance out the John 3:16 that you know. And let's memorize Revelation 3:16. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea is right. These things says the Amen. This is the Lord speaking to you. These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is the Lord. This is what he says. Ah, man, I get chills talking about this. Excuse me if I get emotional. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and you're not cold, nor are you hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say, this is the Lord speaking to you right now and to me. Because you say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, and I'm in need of nothing. But you do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. I counsel you, buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see. As many, and then he says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That means I love you, so that's why I spank you and rebuke you. That's what that means. Therefore, here's what you need to do. Be zealous and repent, because I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne. And I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. For many of you, you got taught this verse out of context. You had some well-meaning pastor say, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. This is what they say, Revelation 3. Friends, I want to tell you, that is not what the Bible is saying. This is not about invite Jesus in your heart to pray the prayer. He's knocking on the door. This is about Jesus at the end of the seven letters, because the church had kicked Jesus out of the church. He was outside the door of his own church. And Jesus said, I'm outside the door of my church, knocking to get back into my church. It's not about your heart, him building a little Care Bear treehouse in your heart. That is not what Revelation 3 is about. It's about a wayward church, seven letters. And he goes, at the end of the seven letters, I'm standing outside the door and knocking. Jesus talking to his church. Jesus saying, come back to me. If Jesus were to write a letter to the church today, what would he say? If Jesus were to write and evaluate your life, my life, write a letter to Isaiah Saldivar. I know your works. You say you're on fire, but you're not. I've tested you. On YouTube, you're on fire. On the stage, you're on fire. But I see you when nobody else sees you. You don't love me the way you used to love me. What would the letter be like? If Jesus was going to write you a letter right now, Kirsty, I know your works. Isaac, I know your works. Josiah, I know your works. I know what nobody else knows about you. You put on a facade and what everybody else knows, but I know your works. Ashley, I know your works. I've watched you. I've seen you. This is Jesus writing a letter. What would it look like the American church? Guys, the American church, every week, and my heart is broken. My heart broke today. I won't go into why. Another scandal, another thing. Every day, every week, another scandal. I was texting pastor friends like, dude, what is going on in the church? Another scandal, another this, another that, another performance. It's all show. The mega churches are all show. They're putting on a huge production. It's like John would be writing a letter. Paul would be writing a letter. Jesus would be saying something with no conviction in the church today. And I know this video is not going to be popular. It's going to probably get the least amount of views on my channel because people don't want to hear this. These videos where I'm preaching like this, they don't get views. People don't want to hear this. No conviction in the church. No power in the church. No leaders willing to get on their knees and say, God, forgive us, for we sinned against you. For we know not what we do, Lord. He evaluates the church and he says, I'm the amen. I'm the amen. I have the last word. What other people say about you, what other people think about you, whatever excuses you have, he says, I'm the amen. It doesn't matter. This is what he's saying. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. I have the final say. I will judge you on judgment day. I'm the amen. I'm the end of your story. No excuses, no rebuttals, no interruptions. Nothing else matters. Nothing can be added. You know, people like they always have to have the last word. And you have a conversation, they always have to be right. You know what God says? I'm the amen. I'm the one with the final word. I'm going to be right on this. I'll have the last word. What he says matters. He says, not only am I the amen, I'm the faithful. I'm faithful. I chase after you even though you don't love me. God is so faithful. The whole story of the Bible is God chasing after people that did not call his name. Continual rebellion. Go read the Bible. And he finally says, I'm going to send my son to make things that are wrong right. The prophets can do it. No one in the old covenant could do it. I'm going to send my son to do it. It's the faithfulness of God. Even right now, some of you are lukewarm and God says, I'll vomit you out. God's still chasing and pursuing you. God's saying, I'm sending this guy to you to preach this. You might not even know why you're on the broadcast. I don't even know. I just like, you're loud, you're weird, but I'm here somehow. I don't know. I just clicked on. You're not here by accident. God's calling you. Even in all of your rebellion, the Lord pursues you. Even in all of my, should have been disqualified 1,000 times. But the Lord in his mercy says, Isaiah, I got something for you. Isaiah, I have a plan for you. This is the faithfulness of God. Does anybody in the chat, can you testify to the faithfulness of God. When you didn't feel like worshiping, he was faithful. When you were afraid of him, he was faithful. When you were too weary, when you were half-hearted, he doesn't go half-hearted. When you walked out, he didn't. When you gave up, he didn't. When you didn't show up, he showed up. He's consistent. He's never moved. He's never shaken. He's never tired. He's always there even when you're not. God is faithful. When you couldn't pay the bill, when the bills couldn't get paid, God showed up because he's faithful. When you thought you'd never be made well, God healed you because he's faithful. When you could not imagine your child that was so far from God serving the Lord, God reached down and saved them because he's faithful. When you couldn't imagine your parents serving the Lord, he was faithful and reached down. When you had no family, he became your family. When you had no parents, he became your parents. When you wanted to quit 1,000 times, he gave you strength to continue on. When you had no clue how you're going to make ends meet, somebody gave you that check, wrote that check, handed you that money. Over and over and over. This is why David said, I can't even count all the miracles you've done. When I look back on my life and I see the faithfulness of God, it feeds me. David said, I will be fed. I will fuel myself. I'll encourage myself in the Lord on his faithfulness. His mercy endures forever. He is a faithful God. All the times you walked out, he kept staying and kept walking in. He's not going to abandon you now. He's not going to give up on you now. He's telling the church of Laodicea, I'm faithful. I'm the amen. I'm the true witness. I'm not going to lie about what I see. I'm in your midst. I'm watching how you're living. This is a terrifying thought for some of us. The Lord's watching everything I'm doing. He's a witness. You know, like when you have a court case and they're like, we're going to take our first witness, and the witness testifies to what they've seen firsthand. The Lord says, I'm the true witness. I don't lie about the testimony, but I see firsthand what's going on in your life. God's 24/7. Sometimes like, God, give me some space. Nope, he's there 24/7. And on judgment day, he's the witness. Not a corrupt, not a lying. He's the witness. He'll judge the secrets of men. And then this is what Jesus says. I know your works. I know your works. Once again, you say one thing. You fake it, acting like you're on fire, this, you're that. I know your works. I know when you're faking it. I know when you're putting on a show. I know when you're radical and when you're not. We're so good at putting on a facade. Everybody thinks I'm on fire. What is that going to matter if I go to hell? Imagine you fool everybody, right? Everybody thinks you're this on fire believer, but you're really living a secret life of compromise and sin, and you're really on a first class fast track ticket to hell, but you have everybody else fooled. What will that matter if you end up in hell? Like imagine pastors living the secret life of compromise, fornicating, lying, cheating, doing all the stuff that the Bible says, if you do, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will go to hell. Everybody thinks you're this famous preacher or person or Christian, whatever, fill in the blank. Then you're in hell for all of eternity. And you're like, I had everybody up there fooled. I was on fire. What does that matter when you're in the fires of hell? You're in the fires of hell, but you convince everybody on earth that you are on fire for God. No, that will not be my testimony. That will not be my story. I want to walk clean before the Lord because God says, I know your works. I've had the Lord rebuke me before where it's like, I'm putting on a show. I'm praying a certain way. I'm preaching a certain way. The Lord's like, I know you, Isaiah. That's not you. You're just putting on a show, Isaiah. That's not how you pray. You're just trying to impress the pastors around you. This is what he's saying to the church of Laodicea. I know your works. I know your works. And here's your problem. You're neither hot nor cold. Lukewarmness is the easiest thing to fall into as Christians. It's easier to fall into lukewarmness, watch this, than it is to fall into sin because it's not as evident, it's not as tempting, and it's not as enticing as sin. It's not so black and white as sin. It can happen fast or it can happen gradually. The bottom line is it happens to so many people. Now, the issue isn't whether someone becomes lukewarm, because here's the beauty about being lukewarm. You can catch the fire again. Let me say that again. The beauty about being lukewarm, if you're lukewarm in the chat tonight, you can catch the fire again. It's not too late for you. You can catch the fire again. The issue is not whether you are lukewarm tonight. The issue is, will you stay lukewarm? The word cold metaphorically means without enthusiasm. Being cold is just, I don't really care. I'm not really moved. I don't really care. I don't really want to serve God. I'm not excited. My hands aren't in worship. I'm not praying. I'm not fasting. You're just cold. Now you're in the church. Because remember, you got to remember this. Don't think of people that are cold or lukewarm as unbelievers. This letter is written to all people in the church. The only recipients of this letter are Christians, quote unquote. This is not for the unbeliever. So don't be like, oh yeah, the cold people, they're the unsaved. No, this is talking to people in the church. Cold is like, it's half-hearted. It doesn't really matter. I don't really care. Just complete. You're unmoved. You're not on fire. You're not burning. You're neutral. You have no enthusiasm. You're neutral in your faith. The disciples were not cold. They burned. They said, did our hearts not burn when he taught us the scripture? Friend, are you moved like you used to be moved? Is there that fire in your belly? Is there still a hunger for God? Do you still love him? Like, how is it that football moves you, but God doesn't move you? Football moves you to excitement, but God doesn't. Movies move you to excitement, but God doesn't. Social media excites you, but God doesn't. How is it that you're excited to check your Instagram, but you're not excited to check in with God? No excitement, because God isn't moving in the Laodicea church. People are excited when God's moving, when God doesn't heal, when God isn't delivering, when God isn't saving, when God's not even in the church. He tells them, like, I'm outside the church. It's no wonder. It's no wonder they're cold. It's no wonder they're not all in. The root of the problem is not their lack of enthusiasm. The root of the problem is that cold or lukewarm is worthless. Cold has value, hot has value, but lukewarm water doesn't have value for nothing. It doesn't quench your thirst, has no value, and there's a whole tie to historical roots of the city and the water. I don't want to go into all that because that gets too debatable. The major issue is when you're lukewarm, you have no impact on the kingdom. Nobody's provoked. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting discipled. Nobody's getting baptized. You're just there. You're literally worthless Christian taking up space. And that's why over and over again, God would say, you're worthless. Cut the branch off. It's worthless. Even though you're connected to me, you're not producing anything. You're worthless. Cut it off. I have whole sermons on that where the Lord's like, there's no fruit in your life. I have to cut you off because you're not producing and you're making the vine look bad. So uproot it. It's just taking up space. If you're just taking up space, you're worthless to God. God, as I said last week, if you didn't hear the message last week, you need to go watch it. God said, I've invested into you and I'm looking for a return on my investment. I don't want worthless Christians. That's the lukewarmness. And then Jesus says, I wish you were one or the other. The word wish means something unattainable. Jesus is going, I can't do this for you. Here's my desire. This is what the Lord's saying to you tonight. Pick a side. Go all in for one or all in for the other. Either go all in. This is what Jesus is saying. And I could say it confidently because he says it here. Either go all the way in for me or go all the way in for the devil. So Jesus says, he goes, I wish you'd choose. I wish you would be either all in or all out. I wish you would no longer be half in. I wish you'd no longer be on the fence. If you're going to be dabbling in the party life, just go all the way. Be the best sinner you can be. But don't be in the middle. If you're going to be all in for God, be as hot and on fire as you can possibly be. And then Jesus goes, I wish you would choose tonight. I literally wish. Isaiah, are you telling me that God wants me to just be all in for sin if I'm going to dabble and just be partially? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Because you're making him look bad by being halfway. Because everybody around you thinks God is like you. God is halfway. Everybody around you thinks God is balanced like you. Don't be that extreme. Don't offend anybody. You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. He goes, be extreme. Look at this. Be extreme or don't call yourself my follower. Be hot or don't call yourself my follower. Why would he rather me be all in or all out? Because you're representing him wrong. You're representing him wrong. He doesn't want you to be neutral. Because if you're not on fire, people are not going to think he's on fire and he's an all-consuming fire. He's a fiery God. If you're not passionate, People are going to think that he's not passionate and he's an all passionate God. If you're not faithful and all in, people are going to think he's not faithful and he's a faithful God. It's a misrepresentation. Let me give you this. 7 signs you're lukewarm and not a Christian. There is no such thing in the Bible as a lukewarm Christian. If you are lukewarm, you're not saved, and God is going to vomit you out of his mouth. If you're lukewarm, you need to repent now. No games, no joke, no being nice. Oh, it's no big deal. He was not nice in this letter. There was nothing nice to say. It's you're lukewarm. You make me sick. You're the only one in the world that makes me sick. And I'm going to vomit you out if you don't repent. I'm giving you a chance to repent. Let me show you 7 signs. These signs are proof you are lukewarm. You're not lukewarm. If you check yes to all of these, you're lukewarm. God's going to vomit you out if you don't repent. And you need to repent. No game, no joke. This is not a message for unbelievers. This is a message to all of you that are believers. Sign number 1, you're indifferent towards God's word. You're indifferent, period. You're just indifferent. You just don't care. There's no prioritizing reading the word. There's no prioritizing studying the word. There's no desire to obey scripture. You treat God casually, and God is an option. God is an option to you, but you want him to make you a priority. That's the lukewarm. You're indifferent. You're just, don't really care. People are sick around me, don't really care. People are lost around me, don't really care. People are dying around me, don't really care. I'll still go to church. I'll still get involved somewhat, but honestly, I'm not really moved. It doesn't really bother me that they need tons of help at the church and I'm not doing anything with my life. It doesn't really bother me that my friends and family are dying and going to hell. I'm just there. I'm lukewarm. I'm in the middle. I'm on the fence. I'm not really a good sinner because I know the truth, and I'm not really a good Christian because I'm living in sin. I'm just miserable because I'm in the middle. I'm lukewarm. And God says, I wish you would just be hot or cold. Just go, just stop. Stop playing games with God. Maybe God has to turn you over to your sin so you'll come back to him. Don't be lukewarm. There's an indifference. There's a tolerance for sin. There's no desire to open up the scripture and read the word of God. You are lukewarm, and God says, I'm going to vomit you out of your mouth. Number 2 is you compromise with sin. Instead of striving for a life of holiness, the lukewarm, and I'm not going to say lukewarm Christian, even though I want to. I'm not going to, because there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. If you are lukewarm, you're not a Christian. That's why the Bible doesn't say lukewarm Christians. That word doesn't exist. If you're lukewarm, you're not a Christian. They don't go together. It's antithetical, doesn't mix. The lukewarm person tolerates sin in their life. They excuse their behavior and say, this is fine, God doesn't care. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's Romans 6, 1 through 2. He says, Paul says, should you just keep compromising? Now that you've been saved, I'm born again, and by grace, I'm saved, full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Stop sinning. Paul says we shouldn't just go on sinning after coming to knowledge. Of course not. If you died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? The lukewarm person compromises with sin. They don't see the danger. They don't see the danger of sin. They don't see the fact that sin wants to destroy your life, that God hates it so much he sent his only son to die as your sin for your sin, so you don't have to live in it any longer. Number 3, the lukewarm, if you're checking yes to these, you're lukewarm. Number 3 is the lukewarm person lacks zeal for God. There's no passion for worship anymore. And I'm emotional talking about this because it breaks my heart. This has been me before. I have at times been lukewarm. I'm praying tonight, Lord, check my heart. Am I lukewarm? God, is this me? Of all the sermons I preach, thousands of sermons, thousands of videos, but I'm going like, Lord, is this me? Check my heart, God. I don't want to be lukewarm. The lukewarm person lacks zeal for God. No passion for worship. No passion for prayer. No excitement to serve others. Worship to the lukewarm feels boring, dull, routine, and an obligation rather than a heartfelt privilege. To the lukewarm, prayer is an obligation. To the lukewarm, worship is not I get to worship, it's I have to worship. To the lukewarm, they have to force themselves to read the word of God. Force themselves to get in his presence. Matthew 15:8. chapter 15, verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Number four, the lukewarm person is worldly. They embrace worldliness. Look at this. The lukewarm person, not Christian, loves the things of this world more than they love the things of God. They prioritize materialism, success, and the pleasures of this world over spiritual growth and the fires of God. This person loves the world. And you know what? This person loves celebrities. They love celebrity culture. And they're more worried about what celebrities are doing than what God is doing. They follow celebrity influencers. You know, the Bible says, do not praise, do not follow, do not look up to the sinner and the wicked. If there is a sinning, wicked celebrity, I don't care how much, I will not look up to them. I don't care. I'm not looking up to them. The only time I'll even comment on anything happening with any celebrities is if it has to do with God, on hell or deliverance. Other than that, I can care less. There's so many Christian influencers online. They're like, this celebrity. Who even cares? Every day you're talking about some new celebrity. The Bible says don't even look to the wicked or the ungodly or the unrighteous. We don't honor them. I don't honor their work ethic. They're lost. Why would I honor or respect or follow them? They're unsaved. They're ungodly. But the lukewarm, they love the world. They love the worldliness. Let me give you a verse. 1 John 2:15 through 16. This is going to hit some of you. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. See this? If you love the world, if you're following these celebrities, you love, oh, I love that famous celebrity. Oh, I love that famous demonic worship leader. And you're just like enamored by these celebrities. Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. You have to pick a side. You've chosen the world. You've chosen to be in love with the things of this world, the pleasures of life. You don't love the Lord anymore. You don't look up to the Lord anymore. You don't look up to godly figures anymore. You look up to the world. And you love the things of this world. And the love of the Father is not in you. And everything in the world, this is what about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It all falls under those three categories. And how are we now going to look up to people that are fornicators, idolaters, supporting all types of evil things? And you look up to them? What are you looking up to? Their sin, their ungodliness, their perversion, and we become perverted just like them because that's who we follow. We follow perverts. We love them. We watch their movies. We pay their salaries. We support their music. A bunch of people that are biblically perverts, and we think it's no big deal. And God says, you love the world. You love the world and the things of this world. I'll be honest with you guys. I follow some ministers and I look at who they follow, all celebrities. I lose all respect for them. When I see ministers that follow all celebrities, especially because most of these celebrities are dressed inappropriate, how are you going to follow all these bikini models and you're supposed to be a pastor? What kind of pastor are you? You're a pervert pastor. You're a perverted pastor. You're pastoring people into perversion. But you know what it is? I want to be friends with these people. I want to like these people. How am I going to be a man of God, full of the Holy Ghost and living holy, and I want to be friends with them? I want to be around them. Now, if they want to get saved, they can hit me up, and some of them have. Some of these celebrities, not pastors, but celebrities. I have more celebrities hit me up in my DMs than I have pastors, to be honest with you, that are like, I want to get delivered. I want to change. I want to serve the Lord. Great. I'll get on Zoom with you, and I have with some of them. I can show you guys right now. I'll pray with you, meet it with you, whatever you want to do. NBA players, NFL players, they hit me up on Instagram all the time. I have a list of them I haven't even responded to. But I'm not going to be following after you. If you're not serving the Lord, not trying to be your friend, not trying to rub shoulders with you, not trying to be buddy-buddy. If you're a Christian, yes. But I'm not going to look up to the ungodly. You can follow me as I follow Christ. I will pray for you, but I'm not going to follow you into your debauchery. Like, then we brag, oh, I went to their parties. What are you even bragging about, bro? You're a Christian, you're going to Diddy parties? How are you bragging about that? How are you podcasting, acting like that's a flex? What a weird flex. You literally went to these perverted parties and you're bragging like, yeah, I was there. You weren't sharing your faith. I have no respect for these people. I'm sorry. I know I'm getting where you're like, I know who he's talking about. I don't have to tell you guys. I feel the fear of God. I feel the disgust of God. Lukewarm, worldly, lukewarm. I got to get off that before I start calling out names like I want to. Number five, the lukewarm neglects godly fellowship. The lukewarm neglects godly fellowship. They avoid gathering with other believers or engaging in godly community and accountability because they're lukewarm. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Encourage one another as the more you see the day approaching. When you become lukewarm, you don't want to be around people that are on fire. You've drifted away. It's a sign you're lukewarm. I don't want to be around other believers that are going to challenge me and convict me and call me out for my sin, call me out for my compromise. So you drift from the local church body, from the fellowship of the believers you used to once hang with, and you no longer hang with them because you become lukewarm. You've become lukewarm. You become lukewarm. Number six, if you want to know if you're lukewarm, prayerlessness. A lukewarm person no longer has a vibrant prayer life. They only pray, write this down, they only pray out of emergencies and out of habits rather than seeking the presence of God on a daily basis. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The lukewarm doesn't pray without ceasing. The lukewarm rarely prays. The lukewarm rarely seeks after the Lord. The only time they pray is routine before they eat. God help me, bless the food, help those that are poor in other countries, amen, thinking that prayer does anything. And they pray before bed. God help my family, make sure nobody breaks in and robs me and holds me at gunpoint tonight. That's it. Those are the only two prayers that they pray. Other than that, they have no prayer life. The lukewarm is prayerless. They have no connection. The connection's been severed. That's why they have no fire and no passion, because the connection's been severed. They've lost that hunger for God. Lastly, number seven, if you're lukewarm and you know it, say amen, amen. If you're lukewarm, number seven, no burden for the lost. They show, the lukewarm rarely ever shares their faith with anybody. They rarely ever lead anyone to Christ. They rather focus on their own comfort and their own life. They're self-centered, self-sufficient, and unconcerned with the fact that people are going to hell on a daily basis. Matthew 28:19, they ignore Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The lukewarm person doesn't take the Great Commission seriously. They don't care. They're not concerned. They're completely disconnected from God and all things holy. And God says, because you're neither hot nor cold, this is what he says. And if you're a yes on those seven things and all of them, you're lukewarm. And I'm coming to you not as angry at you, not to hate you, because I love you and the Bible shows us what's wrong. And I don't want you to be vomited out. I don't want you to stand before God and God say, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm saying this out of love. I'm not angry at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm saying this out of love for you. And I'm also responding and I'm also saying, Lord, is it me? Search my heart. So I'm not just saying it to you. We need to all check ourselves and take inventory tonight and say, is that me? Have I become that? Because you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will vomit out of your mouth. But then this is the biggest problem. And I know I'm going long. Give me a couple more Pentecostal minutes. This is the big, this right here. Okay. I'm going to really end on this point because I can preach five sermons on this, but I want to really end on this one specific point. Here's the number one problem with you tonight. The number one problem with me tonight. And this is the number one problem with the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. They don't realize that they're lukewarm. This is what the Lord says. You say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, and I'm in need of nothing. They claim materialism and wealth over the presence of God. And they go, we're fine where we're at. We don't need more of God. When they look at the world and money, they go, we need more money. We need more wealth. And then God goes, do you need more of me? And they go, no, we're good. We're good. We don't need more of God. We need more of all the world stuff, but not more of God. He says, you say, you're in need of nothing. You don't need me. You're in the chat tonight. You're fine. I don't need more of God. I'm good. I don't need more of God. I'm not lukewarm. That's not me. You're in the chat tonight going like this with your arms crossed. He's not preaching about me. I'm not lukewarm. I'm not complacent. I don't need anything. I don't need more of God. I'm fine. I'm good where I'm at. I have a good prayer life. I go to church. I'm on fire. So yeah, maybe he's preaching to somebody else, but he is not talking to me tonight. God's like, you say you're in need of nothing. You say you're rich. You say you have all of this going for you. You're wealthy. You don't need me anymore. You don't need a fresh move of God. You're just sitting there. He goes, but I say, You don't even know. This is the biggest problem. Samson, the Bible says, he lost the presence of God and didn't even realize it. You don't even realize you're lukewarm. At least I realize it. At least I'm here tonight being like, maybe I am lukewarm. I'm saying that there's 2,000 of you live right now and tens of thousands are watching the replay. And I'm here to say, maybe I am lukewarm. I don't know. Help me, Lord. Search my heart. Am I? God, you tell me. I never want to be the person that goes, that's not me. How many pastors are like that? They preach and they're like, I'm grateful that I'm not the one. That's not me. This is why I love my ministry friends. When I preach, all of them come to the altar. At the Breakers Conference, all of the pastors responded to my altar call, including me. Why? Because I will never be that person that's like, that must not be me. That must not be me he's talking about. It could be me. How do you know it's not? Jesus goes, you think you're fine. But here's what he says. But I say, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All of these things he's saying are spiritual. You're wretched spiritually. You're miserable spiritually. You're poor spiritually. You're blind spiritually. And you're naked spiritually. Now, I want to ask a question before we pray tonight. Do any of those things sound like a Christian to you? Do you think God would call a Christian miserable? Do you think God would call a genuine convert poor, miserable, blind, naked? This is not a Christian. This is someone who says they're a Christian, thinks they're saved. Here's what Jesus is really saying. My perception of you is way different than your perception of you. When you look in the mirror and think you have it all together and you're fine and I'm this and I'm that and I'm a man of God and all the stuff you think, God's like, that's not what I think about you. You say you have it all together. You say you don't need me. You say you have wealth, materialism, and worldliness. But I say you're naked, miserable, wretched, poor, and blind. We must be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, tonight that we don't convince ourselves that we're something that heaven doesn't see. We must be very careful that we don't convince ourselves that we're something that in heaven's eyes is completely false. Imagine me thinking I'm this spiritually rich guy and God says, you're spiritually bankrupt, Isaiah. You're blind. You don't even see your need for me any longer and you're in denial and you don't see your true state. But God says, you need to repent. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined by fire. He says, listen, I'm not going to get complicated in this. I think I went deep on this on my book of Revelation verse by verse. We'll do it another time someday. Here's what I want to say about this. Okay, and then we're going to pray. He says this, buy from me gold refined in fire. Listen, this is something you can only get from me, the Lord says. You can't get this gold from a sermon, a podcast, a preacher, a program, an Instagram post, or any of that. You have to pay for this. This gold, God says that I have that's refined in fire, is going to cost you something. Do you know how much it costs to come out of lukewarmness? Everything. Do you know what's going to cost you tonight? Everything. This thing could ruin relationships that are ungodly, family ties. This will challenge you every single day being uncomfortable saying, God, I'm going to walk the narrow road, the difficult road. If the road's not difficult, it's not the narrow road. Sorry. I'm sorry. If the road I'm on isn't a difficult road, it's not the narrow road. Why is it difficult? Because I'm swimming upstream and the entire world is swimming downstream. Because I'm testifying that the world's works are evil and they're going to hate me because they hated Christ. And you know what? Deep, 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 deep down inside Isaiah Saldivar, there's something that has to die. And that something is, I still have a desire to be liked. I still have a desire to be. I'll be honest with you guys. There's a desire in me deep down that God has to kill still. Every day God has to kill it. Of me being like, I want to be liked by people. I'll be on Instagram and see all these famous pastors, right? And they have their little circles. And I'm just like, oh man, they don't follow me. I'm not cool. And there's this weird desire deep down in me that I'm the weird deliverance guy and I'm not cool and I'm not. And I want the American church guys to accept me. And the Lord's like, that has to die, Isaiah. That has to die in you. You still have these desires to be liked. God says, this is going to cost you. The gold I have, you're going to have to get rid of that, Isaiah. Get rid of that. You can say all you want. You don't desire to be liked, but deep down inside, there's still this weird desire for you to fit in. You got to get rid of it, Isaiah, because you're testifying that their works are evil and you want them to like you. Someone told me the other day, like, oh yeah, that pastor can't stand you. My response was, if I was that pastor, I wouldn't be able to stand me. If I was living the way that guy's living, I would hate me too. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder why he doesn't invite me on his podcast. And then I look at his lifestyle. I'm like, oh, that's why. He's smoking cigars. He's drinking scotch. He's saying sexual things. Of course, that's why he doesn't invite me on his podcast. I would invite me on my podcast if I was him. Why would I invite someone that's going to call out my demons? There was a group podcast. Someone's like, oh, you should bring Isaiah Salvador on. No, they're not going to bring me on. They're all going to start manifesting. Why would they want me on so I can call out their demons? Do you see when you swim upstream, they're not supposed to all like you. Like my family, they all don't like me anymore. Welcome to Christianity. Welcome to the gold refined by fire. Some of you, you want to be lukewarm. That's fine. You can stay lukewarm. And I'm telling you right now, God does not. Last thing I'm going to say. He who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God does not vomit lukewarm people out into heaven. I heard a pastor like, this is believers. They're still saved, but they're lukewarm. There's no, God's not in heaven vomiting. He's not in heaven like, oh, I'm sick. You make me sick. I'm going to vomit you out into heaven. You don't vomit into heaven. You vomit people into hell. God's not throwing people into heaven. He's throwing people into hell. Heaven is something you get invited into. There's a grand entrance when you're a true believer and your name's in the book. You don't get thrown into heaven on accident. No one is accidentally in heaven, but there's plenty of people accidentally in hell. Let me say that again. No one is in heaven by accident, but there's many people that are in hell right now and didn't realize they were going there. I'm telling you right now, make the videos, say what you want, call me workspace. I don't mind at all. Because I know what the word of God says and I know what it teaches. There is countless people as I speak, and do not take this lightly, that are burning in the lake of fire that are lukewarm, that were in church, that thought they were fine, but they were in the middle. They were on the devil's side. They were on God's side, but they were right there. And God says, I'm vomiting them out. I'm throwing them out. I'm casting them out. Just like Luke 13 says. And if you think this is hard, you have not read the Gospels, ladies and gentlemen. If you think this is a hard sermon tonight, you have not read Luke 13. Go read Luke 13 tonight and then come back to me and tell me about how hard I was tonight. Because I was soft compared to what Jesus taught in Luke 13. This is no game. This is no joke. But let's pray. Let's repent right now. No hype. None of that. Lord, we repent tonight for being lukewarm. God, I'm asking if there's lukewarmness in my heart. If I'm lukewarm, God, that you would cleanse me, that you would wash me, that you would redeem me, you'd renew me. God, light me on fire once again. Light me on fire once again. Come on, some of you need to pray that right now. God, I want to hunger for your word. I'm tired of being prayerless. I'm tired of being complacent. I'm tired of being lukewarm. I'm just tired of it. Say, Lord, I want to buy from you gold refined by fire. I know it's going to cost me everything, but God, I give you everything. This is for Christians. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to cry out to God and repent. Turn from your ways. Put your faith in the finished work of Christ. Believe on Christ. I can't save you. He can. But this is a message for the believers, for the quote unquote in the church Christians. If anything, let this word just search your heart. Let this convict your heart and be like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. God, cleanse me, wash me, renew me, light me on fire. I'm willing, God, whatever the cost. Some of you need to pray that scary prayer. 13 years ago, I stood at an altar as a quote unquote atheist. And I said, God, if you're effing real, I said this at an altar. I said this, I'll break up with my girlfriend of 4 years. I'll leave my dream job in law enforcement and the career I'm pursuing that I've wanted to do my entire life that I'm graduating college with a degree in. I'll travel around the world and share your gospel. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll break every one of my Xbox games. I'll delete all my music. And do you realize, and do you know that everything before God revealed himself to me that I said, I will give up and do, God required every single one of those from me. God required every single one of those things. He had me break up with my girlfriend. He had me leave my dream job and career I was pursuing in law enforcement. He had me get rid of all my games. He had me travel all around to preach his gospel for the last 13 years. My life is no longer my own. I can't even do what I want to do. I can't do what I want to do. I didn't want to live stream. I didn't want to be in front of a camera. I didn't want to do any of this. I don't get to choose. I can't do what I want to do. God said every single thing, Isaiah, you said, God, if you're real, I'll do all this stuff. God says, I'm requiring it of you now. Do not pray these prayers if you're not serious about it. If you're serious, say, God, no matter the cost, I'll follow you. God, no matter the cost, I'll follow you. Yeah, Jamie, every single one of these sermons are on YouTube on my live tab or on my video tab. Every single one of these are on my live tab. You can rewatch them. God, I'll follow you anywhere you want me to go. I don't care. I don't care what it's going to cost me. I don't care if it costs me my life. I have already come to the grips with, I am willing right now, and I'm not saying this as a jokingly or because we're living in a culture where this isn't required of us. I am ready right now to take a bullet for the gospel. But I cannot tell God I'm ready to die for you if I'm not willing right now to live for him. God says, oh, you say you'll die for me, but you're not willing to live for me. God, I'll die for you and I'll live for you. I'm ready. I'm not attached to anything in this life. He is the only thing that matters in this life. He's the only thing that matters and he wants everything. He gave everything and now it's your turn to give everything. Give it to him. And this is not, guys, here's the thing. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pray for you to not be lukewarm. He didn't do that. He didn't say, I'm going to pray that you get gold refined by fire. No, he said, you have to do something. He didn't even say he'll pray for you. I want to pray for you and be like, Lord, help him. But you know what he said? You got to make the choice. Some of you tonight, you're going to have to wrestle. Jared and Candace in, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes are going to do prayer and worship. That could be a good time for you to soak and to pray and say, God, search my heart and wrestle God. Some of you, I really hear the Lord saying this tonight. You need to wrestle God. You need to wrestle with the Lord. You really do tonight. You might need to stay up late tonight. You might need to get up early in the morning. You might need to be in the prayer of Jared and Candace's and then get off their stream and still wrestle. But I'm going to get a hold of the ark. I'm going to wrestle with God until he changes me. In Jesus' name. If you want to sow into our ministry, you can. I'm going to put the links up right now. This is how we survive. If you're like, this is a great word. I want to keep hearing this raw preaching. Some of you are like, nobody preaches this way anymore. Then guess what? Sow into our ministry so we can keep doing this. We are going on, 2025 will be our sixth year. We're finishing our fifth year going in January. We started at the end of 2019, but we're finishing five full-time years, 2,200 videos. We couldn't do it without your support. We're supported by the viewers and it's up and it's down. I know times are hard. It affects everybody, right? People don't give when times are hard. I totally get it. But pray about helping us continue to do this for free. We are not going to charge. We're going to keep doing this for free. If you can't afford to give, I understand. If you have $2 in your bank, don't give me your last $2. I understand. Be wise. Amen. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your husband, your wife, and say, we should partner with this ministry monthly for 2025. Really pray about that because we do need your support. I'm going to probably actually send out an email for the first time ever because we need your support. So you can monthly partner on my website. Pray about doing it for the commit 20 to 2025. Hey, $50 a month, $100 a month, $20 a month. Guys, if you go get sushi right now with this inflation, it's $80 to $100 to go get sushi with your family. Is that the truth? You could partner with us for $25 a month and not even feel it, okay? It's one sushi meal. It's one sushi out with the kids and the family, all right? Partner with us. If you can't afford it, don't apologize. Don't worry. Don't give a dollar and say, I'm sorry, I wish I could give more. You don't have to be sorry. You don't have to feel bad. God will provide. He always does. There's people that could afford and there's people that can't. If you can, support. If not, I understand. I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. All right. The links to give are there. If you do monthly partner on these links, isaiahsalvador.com/partner, my website is the best place to give. It's the best place to give monthly. If you do sign up, I will personally email you tonight, 70 sermons downloadable, 20% off the merch store, all the past partners calls and all the future partners calls. Okay. I'm sorry. All the future prayer calls, which are Thursday at 1:30. I said that wrong because I was so used to saying that in the past. Thursday at 1:30 p.m., we get together and pray every single week. So you'll get invited to that. But at the end of the day, it's not even about the perks that you get. It's about your investing and sowing into reaching people. We've passed 500 million views. We're almost at 200 million on just YouTube by itself, not including TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram, which have more views because a lot of it is short form. We're reaching hundreds of millions of people by the glory and the grace of God. And it's not my channel. It's his channel. I'm not choosing what I preach on. If I got to choose, I wasn't like, I want to be tell them they're lukewarm. But the Lord's like, teach on this, Isaiah. Teach on this. So I am. So I appreciate you guys giving and sowing and partnering. I love every one of you dearly. We're going to be live again tomorrow night. That will start at 6:00. And I'll be here for a couple minutes hanging out. And then, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, Jared and Candace will go live here. I have their channel open and I'll post the link here in a minute. I'll actually post it now going here in 5 and there's their link and it'll take you there automatically. If you are on YouTube with autoplay, it'll automatically take you there. And I know tonight I'm like very serious, very strong, but it's needed. It's needed. Okay. Because I'm not going to live my life convincing people that aren't saved they are saved. I want to set the bar where Jesus set the bar. It's only by his grace we can do it. I can't do this without him. You can't do it without him. We need the Lord. And if some of you are like, I feel afraid of God now, good. Maybe you should start feeling afraid of God for the first time ever. I've heard many people say, like, you teach on, you know, you make people fear God. That's a great compliment. People literally tell me that as if it's a bad thing. Well, people are just afraid of God when they hear you preach. Okay, great. Awesome. I'm glad. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. The only reason why people say such ignorant things is they don't know the Bible. I'm sorry to say it that way. Is that mean? I don't know. I don't even know what I mean or not. Just stop being ignorant of the Bible. The Bible says to fear God. Google it. It'll take you 13 seconds to realize we should fear God. January 19th, I'll be preaching 5 songs at Life Song Church in Stockton. January 19th, Life Song. I'll have my book there as well in person. Life Song Church, January 19th, 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2. 5 times. Come shout me down and help me. Thank you. January 26th, I'll be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. If you're in Arizona, I will be there in Mesa. January, 26th? And then March 16th, I'll be at the North Georgia Revival Sunday morning and Sunday night. Okay? I'll give you guys more dates as I get them, but those are my dates that I have as of right now. And there's that, right? Please make sure that you've liked the broadcast. If you haven't liked the broadcast, please like the broadcast, all right? If you're watching this right now, we have breaking news. Like the broadcast. Share the broadcast. Let's get the word out there, please. Coming at you live with breaking news. Please like the broadcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's easy. If you're on a laptop, you can tap the like button right now. All you have to do is just click the button. It's super easy. Maybe you're watching at home from a TV. Just click, 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 click. If you're watching from your phone, which probably a lot of you are, you can like the broadcast. Thank you. The verses literally say, fear God. Exactly. Exactly. And we should be afraid of not having his presence. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fear the Lord. No more soft Christianity. All right. Maybe you're listening in your car right now. Don't look down if you are. Okay. But maybe your kid has your phone. When you get to your destination safely, maybe you're down there driving. Maybe you're driving there on the 99. Once you get to your destination safely, then I need you to like the video. That's going to help us out a lot. Okay, like the video once you get to your destination safely. It's going to help us out. We appreciate it. Maybe, I don't even know if it's possible, but maybe you're watching on your Apple Watch. Is that even possible? Maybe with the new update? Could you watch live streams on your Apple Watch? Somebody let me know if you're watching on your Apple Watch, in your Apple Watch, through your Apple Watch, for your Apple Watch. If you are an Apple Watch, if you identify as an Apple Watch, please tap the screen. All right, that's going to help us out. This feels weird. It's all good. Just like the broadcast. I realize my teeth are yellow when the lights turn green. I should probably turn the green light off. Look how yellow my teeth are. They're starting to whiten up now as lights change. But yeah, the green light's not a great color. Swamp teeth over here. Love this. Thank you. I used to be a lot funner, you know? I'm just getting old. I gotta bring back the fun. I gotta bring back the fun here, okay? Snowing. Let's see. I have my snow. Remember this? We got to get back the snow. It's December. It's the dandruff snow. We got to bring back the snow. You guys remember this? The OGs remember. Oh, yeah. Carl, I know. We haven't seen him in a while. Where's he been? Here we go. Here we go. Carl and the snow. Carl and the snow. A little Christmas here. A little December time. Carl doesn't mind the snow. A little bit of snow never hurt a bird. You're awesome. Yes, snow. It is snowing for some of you. Guys, stay on, though. In a couple minutes, Jared and Cancel will go live. I highly advise you, especially after this sermon, get into prayer and worship. Thank you guys for giving. I'll read donations tomorrow night. I won't read them tonight because I went long. But please, again, pray about giving. It helps us continue on. But Jared and Candace will be live, and I'll direct you there if you have autoplay. If not, going here soon. I'll just type their thing one more time here for Facebook and for YouTube. There you go. That's where we're going in a minute for prayer and worship. This is the best preaching of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Perla. Thank you, everyone, for giving. I'll read the donations off stream. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you guys so much. I can't believe we've been doing this for almost 5 years or finishing up 5 years, starting our 6th year. Do you have any pets? Yes, we have 2 dogs and 3 cats. Praise the Lord. I'm reading all the comments. Yep, Carl's here. He's here. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the snow. I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. Some of you don't like it. Some people are like, turn the snow off. Would you rather have this instead? Would you have a rainstorm? No, that's, I don't like the rain. The dark cloud. Like some of you spiritually, just the dark cloud. There's a guy named Carl at church. He's an amazing dude. Tell him there's a bird named after him. Stop saying you're old. I'm sorry. I don't like the rain. I like the snow. The snow, I like it. I like it. Let's see.
Oh, hey.
Dude, who remembers this? Hold on.
Just
who remembers this?
Oh, hey. Didn't see you. I was just chilling down there listening. If you've enjoyed this video, go ahead and hit the like button. Super easy, super free. Helps a lot. All right, so right now, stop what you're doing. Hit like. Okay, I'm going back down here. Bye.
Dude, we haven't seen that guy in a long time. He's been under the desk for a while. That's hilarious. I totally forgot about that. I'm looking at all my old alerts and stuff. I got a bunch of those. That's so funny. Oh, yeah. Also, I have a book. Look at this. Forgot about this. I have a book. You can scan the QR code and get my book. There you go. Get the book. Mike Signorelli has taken our number one spot. We're number two. Help me get back to number one. Get your stocking stuffers. Have your family over. Cast the demons out of them. There you go. Oh, yeah, that was the same shirt, but a white one, right? It was white. This one's gray. But you could get this shirt. Oh, I don't want to accidentally cuss. You can get this shirt. This shirt at revivallifestyleapparel.com. There still is a bobblehead. Yes, he hasn't made an appearance in a while. I got to show you guys my other one. Actually, some pastors got me a bobblehead as a joke, and I have another bobblehead too, which I'll have to bring on stream. He's wearing a suit. What, baby? One of my kids is at the door. What? Okay, I'll be out in a minute. My daughter's at the door. She wants to hang up her drawing. I let them hang up their colorings on my office door. So I have a bunch of like kids' drawings on my door. So she wants to hang one of her new drawings up. You know what, guys? Not saying this to be self-righteous. Not saying this to be anything. You guys know my testimony. I used to cuss. Every other word was the F word. Before I was saved, I had a really, really, really bad mouth. I don't know why. I just was a demonic. But I have not cussed or even slipped since I got saved. So that's pretty cool. So yes, I don't want to be the first time I ever slip a cuss word in 13 years on stream trying to say shirt. So that would not be good. The shirt, see, I gotta stop saying it, is revivallifestyleapparel.com. Or just go to my website and go to merch. Revivallifestyleapparel.com or go to merch. You'll find the shirt there. What, baby? I love you so much. My daughter's here saying, Daddy, I love you. I love you, baby. You're a great father. Thank you, Josiah. All right, they are live. Let's all go over there now. They're live and ready to go. Let's go pray and worship there. I'm going to put on the stream while I eat. I love you guys so much. I will see you guys tomorrow night. Go there now. I'll post the link one more time. Go there. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.